Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I have old friend John Franklin back on the show. For those of you who recall, I had John on the show in the past. He talked about his experiences in relation to these orbs and how these orbs had these phenomenal capabilities that seemed to be able to essentially hijack his consciousness and at times bring his consciousness to an alternate reality altogether. John has had lots of experiences of the MyLab variety, and he's quite an observant witness. So I'm really looking forward to this segment. Without any further ado, John Franklin, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James. I always love being on your show, and as I've said right off the introduction several times, there's many, many, many shows covering UFOs, abductions, the paranormal, et cetera. Very few are diving into the MyLab. If they are, and please, I'm not trying to insult anyone, I just think that super soldier label has been, I don't know what to call it. I don't want to call it a retread, but it seems like it's used too universally for everything.
Yes.
And when I was going through some of the experiences, and there were many different kinds and types, and when there was a military aspect to it, I never felt like I was a super soldier. I felt I was like a fucking grunt. So there's nothing super about it, at all. There's people want to say super soldier and all that, and I'm not sure why they're throwing those two words together. If anything, I felt that, and I'd like to hear what you have to say about that. I felt like more of like a press gang, or this is like a Shanghai of me forced labor, or something like that. So there have been other people on your show that have de definitely, talked about it more in those terms than glorified it. There's nothing glorified, and I felt it to be very disturbing part of my life. I'm not going through it like I was from 2006 to 2014. And I'm just going to be honest, I can embellish and say it's going on and on. And frankly, that was enough, because by August of 2009, the fatigue was starting to set in so much for me that I really could not function as a normal human being during the day. And I dreaded the nighttime, and I didn't really want to go to sleep, because I knew even if it had been 2 weeks or 3 weeks since my last one, I was not looking forward to the next one. And what's your thoughts on that, James?
I had a very similar mindset when I was going through a spate of these experiences from the mid late 90s into the 2000s. I didn't want to go to bed either because I felt like I was going to get nabbed. And
Yeah.
I would wake up and my body felt like, well, either I'd been run over by a tank or I'd run a marathon or a combination of both, right? Like every muscle in my body ached.
James, that descriptor is so spot on and exact that it's so accurate. What you're saying right now is true.
Yeah, and then you tie into it whatever memories, dreams, fragmented or otherwise, you have from the night before. And there's definitely a very clear pattern because there was no rest for the weary. And for me, where th there was a lot of, confusion and uncertainty because my day job in the early mid 90s was I was working for the Navy in communications at Comnav AirPAC. But at night, I'd have some of these experiences and I'd be amongst military personnel, particularly naval personnel. And then I'd have to kind of sort it out in my mind. Did I have that dream last night? Because during my normal waking consciousness, I'm here at this headquarters and I see naval personnel all the time. Is that
Right,
why
so
I'm
it's
having?
almost parallel camouflage.
Exactly. It created exactly a form of parallel camouflage, like you mentioned. But the so-called dreams, actually experiences, at times were quite detailed. And time would pass slowly. At least that was my perception of time passing. It wasn't like a dream where you had a bunch of disconnected, unconnected images just flash in your mind, and
I
then
know exactly what you're talking about.
there was a linearity to it, if that makes
For
sense.
sure.
And there was a sense of time passing slowly wherever that realm was. And
Yes.
sometimes the experiences were quite mundane. I mean, being
I
like
agree with
in
you.
an office with naval personnel. I mean,
Yeah,
there's
but you
file.
knew that this was not part of your life current in this dimension here. There were some oddities about it.
Like there'd be
Yeah.
file cabinets, desk, people just sitting around having coffee. Other times it'd be conferences, and I'd be sitting in these conferences, and
Yes.
they'd manage to activate some kind of, and I pieced this together later on with discussions of with people who'd gone through like mind control. And because I noted an oddity, a curiosity, that they would be talking to me, these officers, and I would be in the back seat, as it were, in the back seat with earplugs and mufflers on. So I couldn't hear the dialogue at times when they were talking directly to me. And it was clear that based on their facial expressions, their reaction, their attentiveness, they were listening to me, quote unquote, in response. And then they would say something, and then I would respond back. And I noted this curiosity and brought it up with someone who was brought up in these high level, off-world satanic type families. And he said, it's possible they're talking to an alter of yours, while you, the me that you're talking to now, is in the back seat, conscious of what's going on, but unable to hear, unable to respond of my own accord. Like whoever they were, whatever alter they were talking to, it was some kind of, they pulled that individual or personality out. I was shunted into the back seat. I had the mufflers on. I couldn't hear a word, but clearly there was some kind of dialogue going on back and forth. And then my attention would be diverted to another officer at a different part of the table, the conference table. And likewise, a dialogue would break out between the alter they were talking to and that officer, right? And this was a source of frustration for me. It was like, how come I can't hear these people? It's clear that they're talking to me, and it's clear that they're responding to whatever I'm saying. And then it was only later talking to that individual that he pointed out, in all likelihood, it was an alter that they were dealing with, right? Which makes sense. And so a lot of the experiences, to be sure, there were some scary moments, battlefield scenes, and escape and evasion type,
A lot of escape and evasion training.
either training or real. It was difficult to tell at times, and I never had the luxury. We don't have the luxury of saying, "Oh well, this is all a simulation. It's not real. It's just a dream." I mean, that's an assumption. You know what I mean? So that was interspersed with lots of experiences that were rather more on the mundane level. So I never warmed up to the whole super soldier label, because two parts of that designation disturbed me. Soldier implies that I am a willing participant in this, as if I'd, signed up for selective service, which I didn't. Super implies like superlative, glamorous, spectacular, fantastic. There was nothing fantastic, glamorous, or superlative about it to me, because that would happen to be at night, some of the things I just described. But there were other times at night when I'd be getting heavily beamed. I could see, because you know how it is when you're being energetically zapped and blasted. Sometimes your etheric third eye vision is enhanced, right? As a byproduct, either as a byproduct or an intended effect. haven't quite figured that part out yet. And on one occasion, on more than one occasion, I was getting beamed in the brain. It was clear to me, based on the location, that they were zapping my frontal lobe to chip away at my impulse control. And my third eye vision was enhanced, or maybe it wasn't even the third eye, but I could clearly see three energy beams coming down from the ceiling, straight down, one to my head, another to my solar plexus area, and another straight down to my groin area, right?
Okay.
So I'm laying there and I'm seeing this and I'm getting zapped, right?
Right.
So again, there's nothing super or glamorous or exciting about
No.
that.
No.
It was an outrageous violation of my
For
personal
sure.
sovereignty. So
I
I've
said it's like a Shanghai or and or press gang.
And for those not familiar with the term, because those are really old school terms John just used, in the old days, in the era of the Royal Navy, the sun never sets on British soil, right? The concept of press ganging goes as follows. The British Royal Navy were short of crewmen for a particular ship that's about to, get underway. So they literally went out into the towns and cities and villages of these seaside communities, or even in London itself. And they would, like you see in Ukraine today, they would just hijack people off the street, press gang them. They called it impressment also, press gang people and force them to serve on these ships. And one reason it was called being Shanghaied, because sometimes these citizens press ganged, impressed right off the street, they wound up in places like Shanghai. So when you hear the term, oh, he was Shanghaied, that's where it came from. So I'm in agreement with you there. There is an element
Yeah.
of impressment, press ganging, of being Shanghaied, which I didn't appreciate at all. And perhaps, I mean, one could look at it, psychology 101, if you will, that perhaps in some cases, people who describe themselves as super soldiers, it's some kind of conscious or subconscious effort to retain some degree of control. Like, okay,
Right.
well, all these things happened to me, and it's always a question. Is it real? Was it?
Or James, that they're indeed special. That's why they were taken.
Yes, that's another thing. And then aliens do the exact same thing where they activate the ego of somebody and they make them feel special and part of this great effort at awakening and ascension, what have you. It's a similar dynamic. But because I had the great good fortune of being around people, with a quite balanced perspective like yourself, Evie Lorgan, Craig Bowers, and people like that back in the old days, we had a chance to do a proper debrief after some of these individual MyLab experiences and group MyLab experiences,
You
because
were
we had
lucky
a
to have someone that you could actually sit down and talk to. At least you can get grounded, or there's some justification of where the next person next to you nods their head. Where if you're all by yourself, you're like teetering on the brink of insanity.
Because there's no one to talk to about it. I
Correct.
can't imagine that, right? So
Right.
in your experiences, they're at next level, because they're not just MyLab experiences here on the surface or beneath the surface in some underground base, and it's not even just an off-world experience. See, that's another thing that bothers me about the whole super soldier galactic warrior kind of thing. Every single well I can't say with certainty that every single alien abductee has been taken off world, but my attitude is, if you're in a craft abducted and taken out of the atmosphere, well, de facto, you're part of an alien secret space program, right? So you don't even have to be part of, in my kind of expanded view, one doesn't have to be in some program like Solar Warden or whatever to be like inducted into these off-world programs, because the aliens will do that. They'll take
Right.
people, out of the atmosphere, elsewhere in the solar system, clear out of the solar system into another dimension, another alternate reality entirely. So, it's almost like by calling themselves super soldiers, they want to separate themselves from the rest. And then this whole like Marvel Universe aspect kicks in.
Yes.
Whereas before we had a unified front, we're all Mylabs. Whether one was being taken by the Air Force, Navy, or the Army, sometimes one week it's the Air Force, sometimes another week it's the Navy. For some people, we had a unified front back then. It was very much us against them. It wasn't broken up into these fault lines. And I was with Dark Fleet. I was with Nachtwaffen. I was Kruger. It's very much branding, and it's very much there's an element of Stockholm syndrome to it, to be
I'm
sure.
not even sure if because of the fragmentation and my experiences, and there be going to be some people that'll be pissed off if I hear it. I don't believe that these people have accurate information of like saying that they're serving for this company or that company. I just don't believe. I think it, if anything, it's screen memory or they want to believe it. 'Cause if there was any taking by anybody specific, the very first thing they would want to make sure is nobody would remember anything about it. That's my
That's
opinion here.
I agree with you, because, like, for example, when you hear from these people and they say, well, I was with this project, that project, and they name these projects, by their alleged designation. I was with this
Yes.
project, that project, the other project. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, those projects have piss poor OPSEC, operational security, right
Right.
off the bat. That comes to mind.
Right.
Secondly, if what they're reporting, that they're been told or somehow gleaned the information that they're part of this, that, or the other project, it's either piss poor OPSEC, which I doubt, or it's more likely they've been allowed or given that information with the expectation, based on their psychological profile,
If they'll leave.
that they turn around and tell everybody about it. Whereas me,
They leak it, which is nothing but a false data point.
yes, and then what happens if you have two or more people similarly mind controlled, similarly of a similar mentality, mindset, psych profile, and then it becomes an echo chamber. Oh yeah, I was in that project. Oh,
Yes.
I saw you. Oh, I saw you. Oh, I saw you.
Yes.
I was in that project too. Did you remember when? Oh, I remember that. And
Yes.
so you have this issue of, and we see this in all walks of life in the surface level too, where you have people, there's a certain percentage of people that do have a fantasy prone personality. That's the bottom line. There are. Whereas someone like you and I, we would scrutinize, down to the nth detail,
Right.
whatever fragmented memory we have from the night before. Now, what the heck happened? I don't remember what happened after that, but
Right.
so we don't take leaps in the unknown. We're not so much in the speculation and conjecture. Of course, at some point, one has to make educated guesses, intuitive
Yes.
guesses, right? But this whole kind of Marvel Universe, Netflix packaging, where the
Absolutely.
whole basis of the control system is mind control and memory erasure and selective memory erasure at that. And yet these people claim to almost have total recall,
For
right? Which
sure.
completely flies in the face of what the mind control programs are all about. So when they say, I was in all the 7, 8, 9, 10 different programs, I was on this planet, I was there. It's like whoever is running those programs, if taken at face value, it's like they don't know how to, run a program.
It doesn't make any sense.
No,
You'd say
no.
like, oh, this clandestine unit you're working for isn't too clandestine.
Yes, that's my point entirely. Right,
Right.
but they
Exactly.
hang so much of their self-worth and their
Yes.
identity to this that
Yeah.
when anyone raises any questions, oh, you're a shill, you're a disinformator. Wait a minute, I've been doing this and I've been involved in these for nigh on 35 years by this
Yes.
point, right?
Yes.
But what do I know? I'm just a boring old Mylab. But see, that term has been superseded by the whole super soldier thing, and it's gotten to the point now, John, and you understand this. Because there's this built-in, and it's developed over generations by this point, of video games, Call of Duty, Call of Honor, all these ridiculous Rambo movies,
Hollywood.
Hollywood. It's gotten to the point now, and also a lot of the self-promotion and branding that's come out of the special forces, ex-special forces community in the global war on terror. So many of them have podcasts nowadays and all that. So this kind of notion has arisen where people who claim any kind of a woo-woo special forces, special ops background are immediately given a level of credibility, which is at times not always justified. Because you see, in the so-called super soldier community now, all these supposedly ex-special forces guys, they always have a special forces background for whatever. It can't just be a lab technician or a mechanic or an engineer. It's always got to be, because that falls right in line. Many of the people going through BUDS today, basic SEAL underwater demolition training and other pipelines in other special forces, a lot of them as kids were brought up on Call of Duty, Call of Honor, Counter-Strike. So their whole worldview is shaped by these video games and what their expectations are. So now, fast forward to the present, we have all these people claiming an ex-special forces background, usually a Navy SEAL, but not always, and they always have something to say, and their comments and their observations and their viewpoints are accepted uncritically by so many people in this community. I mean, whatever happened to discernment? And a lot of these people that buy this stuff, they wouldn't even be able to function as an intelligence analyst in the surface world, because their viewpoints, their confirmation biases. And we saw a lot of that in the surface world, especially for the global war on terror. Oh, you're going to get us this intel about bin Laden, that intel about Al Qaeda, when we know that whole false flag syndrome, right? So they're being sent off on all these wild goose chases on confirmation bias to find intel, pinning all this on bin Laden and Al Qaeda, when we know that that was who was responsible for 9/11 and afterwards, right? But so they had all these surface level intel types looking for all this bogus information in order to please their masters. I'm sure they came up with it. So, there's a relevance and a parallel to that going on with this surface this secret soldier kind of disclosure going on. And it's all tied in with Antarctica. It's all tied in with the Iranian war. It's all tied in with like stargates and med beds, and it's very convoluted. We would never have seen this back in the old days with the hardcore, very serious hardcore researchers of the past. None of this would have passed muster.
I agree with it. If you've ever gone through some of these experiences, I've never talked about this, and I've never asked you, and there's been other people on the show, if they've objectified it, if I missed it. One of the like the hallmarks that well that ha happened with me, because it could be so highly personalized for every single person, but one of the things that I remember the most is when you're taken. So that means when you go to bed and the experiences start, I don't really remember any sensation of, I'm going to use a term, where the separation occurred of out of this reality, if the consciousness was taken, if your soul was split. I don't know what the hell it is.
The line of demarcation.
Correct. However, being put back when I came back, I actually refer to that because my diary is hundreds of pages long. And sometimes the entry is only three or four sentences. So it was just like one page is one event. One page is one event. I got like six events on one page. Just to give you an idea. The coming back, I always refer to it as the snap back. And it's like as you pull a rubber band as high or as far apart between your two fingers, your two hands, your two end your finger and your thumb, and you pulled it apart and you let go of one but held it on the other, and the rubber band would snap back against the other thumb and finger. When I was put back, when I came back, I don't want to exactly say there was force involved, like my bed wouldn't bounce, you know, or something like that. But there was a sensation of kind of an impact on a way that I cannot describe. It is like if you snap, if you got your hands and you clap them as hard, ridiculously hard as you possibly could together, but that would be in the inside core of your being, if I'm making any sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And the shock from that moment, T equals 1 plus second forward. Okay. You know, you've just been returned from one of these experiences. For some reason, I would say more than 50% of the time, whatever did it to me had the ability to, like, if a skunk has an odor, okay, and it's prevalent, then the prevalent emotion and the beingness that was attached to the moment of the return was uncontrollable fear and confusion. And I don't know if you have that, if you had, or someone has talked to you about this, and there's nothing super soldier about that.
Yes.
Okay. And it is the very first thing I wanted to do was two things. I wanted to check the clock because I got an extra large LED clock that maybe the numbers were maybe 2 to 3 inches high. So they're not small, they were large and it was light green. And I could see it across the room, but it's basically at the foot of my bed. So I wanted to check the time because I slept with a stenographer's notebook. So I wanted to write the time down. So I wanted to look at the clock, but I didn't even think about writing anything down. The second thing I wanted to do, James, was get out of the bed.
Yes.
Okay. And that's not normal at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's not normal at 3 or 4 a.m.
Yeah.
or 5 a.m. You're relaxing. You're a human being. You say, oh, I'm going to reposition myself on the pillow. And if I do that, maybe in 15 minutes or less, I could fall back to sleep. You don't vacate your safe zone and
Yes.
like run away from it. And that's what I did. The problem is, a lot of the time, I didn't have like the stability and leg strength to hold myself up.
Yes.
Okay,
Yeah.
you've got
Yeah.
compounding problems happening one after another. First, the snapback occurs. Then you have the realization that you're just going through there. There's some type of uncontrollable fear that's running through your body. It feels something like you've almost got into an accident, like you have
Yeah.
a hard time breathing and you're trembling like a little bit. And then you want to get away from the area that you're in, which is your bed. You want to like leave it. You want to go, oh, that's bad. That's
Yes.
like,
Yes, and
and you can't. And if you get all of that and shake it up and pour it into a glass, that's the cocktail of what it's like to come back. Oh, okay. And
yes.
you've gone through these, and I'll tell you what, I'm not making this up. I would pass a lie detector test, even if I had sodium pentothal. I've gone through this twice in one night, James. At certain times, I got taken, returned, went to
Yes.
bed, got taken, and returned again.
Yes.
And it was like in August when it started in 2006, in August of 2009, like, I didn't feel that Earth was a friendly place designed for true humans. I thought there were a special type of a being that would come here, and the type of being that would come here is someone who enjoys being lied to and lies to others and steals from and steals. And I felt that this is like such a low vibration. And just the overallness of the hyper distraction of Kim Kardashian, of the Dallas Cowboys, of the Chicago Bulls, of the Lakers, of another World Cup, another March Madness and NCAA football. All it is one gigantic stack of distraction placed on top of another, strung together, and they call it a year, James.
Yes, and the need on our part to try to find some semblance of meaning, because when we wake up in the fashion that you describe, I've gone through similar things.
Yeah.
Then we have to try to make sense of, okay, we have a long day, and and people like us, we're usually part of the workaday world, and then we go to sleep, and then we're sucked in, pulled in, as it were, into this other reality, no less real than this reality. And so there's no rest for the weary, where we should be having like recuperative, restful, healing sleep. Instead, we're pulled into these weird science, mind control programs, where we're messed with energetically, our auric fields are messed with, psychically, psychologically, physically, all across the board, messed with, and then, summarily sent back. And like you said, sometimes either through our own efforts somehow, or through some intervention somehow, we come back. And then they realize, oh, he's back, and then they yank us, like yanking on a fishing pole. Like with me sometimes, if they were putting me through this, and it's still up in the air, I can never be absolutely certain about the true nature of some of these experiences, whether it's on the one hand just a virtual reality where they're hijacking my consciousness, my and putting it through its paces somewhere else.
Because it's so clear and real at the time, you cannot distinguish between the two. So if somebody says, why are you confused about it? Because the replication is exact.
Because your consciousness is there at this other place, other dimension, other realm, call it what one will. There's a sense of immediacy, like, oh shit, I'm back here again, right? It's not like, well, some of the experiences, as you know, they're so in your face that there's no question of even asking, is this a dream? Am I just hallucinating? Here, I'm back again. Okay, they've nabbed me, whoever they are, like the military, aliens, or someone else. And like with me sometimes, if for whatever reason I wound up back in my body, or I began to break the programming, in some of the experiences, they would beam the part of your brain that induces heavy leaden eye lid sleep, right? And so as long as your eyes are closed, then the movie, whatever they're playing in your head, whether it's a virtual reality environment, whether it's an astral experience, when they're keeping your physical body immobilized and your consciousness has been essentially hijacked, right? So whatever you're seeing, whether it's a sporting event, combat situation, training, whatever, you come back and you begin to come to consciousness, you begin to snap out of it. What happens is the controllers go, oh, Bartley or whoever, fill in the blank, they're starting to wake up. So they once again beam that part. I could feel it. They amp up
The intensity increases,
the
yeah, pull you
intensity
back
increases
down.
for that part of the brain, which induces the heavy sleep. And the moment your eyelids close, whammo, you're back in that other environment. And there's nothing glamorous. There's nothing super about that. That's outrageous, abusive mind control. I just want to sleep. I just want to be left alone, right?
Not
But
only
it's
that, you've worked all day and then now you're going to lay down at night, and you and I don't know that you may have been worked twice as hard during the night as you did during the day.
yes. And so there's no rest for the weary. So
That is correct.
depending on what your job, do you work out, in parks and recreation, you got a desk job, whatever the case may be, you're sitting there or you're out there working and you're going, damn, did I really have to go through that again last night? And then you're just dragging it, man. I mean, you're dragging it. And it's easy to lose focus, because then you ask yourself, well, this world that I'm sitting in, I'm in an office or whatever my job is, this is a mediocre make-believe world where I'm
That's the
just,
point of what,
yes.
yes, everything is fake. If they only understood where I had been, the Vietnam vets, God bless them, or any soldier comes back and says, you don't understand where I came from, what
Yes.
I saw, who we lost over there. I left a piece of myself there, which is horrid,
Yes.
right, Jake? You got
Yes.
sent a draft letter, and you all of a sudden you're in Con Then, you're in North up at the DMZ, 19 degrees, you're getting shelled every night. That's like a that is probably one of the most horrible experiences, especially if
Yes.
you're one of those, especially if you were like a mama's boy. right?
Yes.
You never had to make your own bed. The food was always on the table. Your friends, your cousins, you came from a strict family unit. Everyone loved you. You went to church on Sunday. And the next thing you know, you're in the Marine Corps.
Yes.
And you're getting shot. No wonder you're fucked up when you come back a year later.
Yes. Yes.
Anybody would be, you know?
Yes.
And then just like you say, but no one would understand like
No.
what it's like to get up from one of these experiences, because one of the things that you're gonna, which is very clever, they're, I don't want to say they make you believe you're coming from a place sometimes where there's high technology or other things ha happen, and you start to question yourself of what you actually went through. Is it real or not?
Yes. And that's the problem. And there have been times when I thought I was back. There were times when I thought I had been returned or I'd made myself come back somehow, but really it was like the sensation of waking up in inside of a dream and thinking you're awakened, but you're still in the dream, right? So there was that element too, that I, on one occasion, I think I've told the story in the past, but it bears repeating. I was being put through my paces in a training scenario. I'm not going to go into the whole long because the setting and the sequence, it changed, right? But initially I found myself in an underground cavern system, and I was there with others, presumably like myself, my lab types, men and women, and we were being put through our paces, and we were like supposed to run through these tunnel systems and caverns. And kind of like a, like a training of some kind, right? But the problem was, on that particular occasion, my consciousness, even though I was there in some kind of tunnel system, in a cavern system, it was still very much the consciousness you're talking to now. So there was no question that, oh, I'm going to start doing all this super soldier stuff. I was worried about breaking ankles and snapping limbs, on one occasion I found myself on a kind of a plateau, about 12, 15 feet off the ground, and I'm seeing all these other my labs, like men and women, like running below me off to wherever their checkpoint or designation or where they were supposed to go. And I'm here feeling sorry for myself. Damn, it's like I'm falling way behind. That was my mentality, right? Now, if I had been in, I guess, super soldier mode, perish the thought, right? Maybe I would have just jumped off like the Beast or Wolverine, you know what I mean? But the part of me that you're talking to now is said, well, if I jump off from this side, I'm gonna break my ankle, right?
Yeah, you're just a normal human being.
I'm just a normal human being. So rather than jump off, I took the trouble to climb down and then, resume the training,
Yeah,
run.
you're concerned about your body. Your
I'm
body is your
concerned of.
vehicle. You don't want to sprain an ankle. You don't want to have something wrong with your wrist or your shoulder. You can't function.
Exactly. So, when I got returned from that experience, and then very briefly, I'll tell you what happened the next part. The next part, I was outside of a big estate-looking place with a moat, actually a moat around it, and I was swimming underwater beneath this moat. And I look over to my left, slightly above me, to my left was what appeared to be a frogman being pulled along by like this motorized attack board kind of thing, right? And I'm thinking, well, that's nice. He gets to use one of those things, and here I am. I have to swim, right? So I got up out of the canal, this moat kind of place, and then I just knew somehow I was tasked with somehow infiltrating this big estate, getting in there some way, right? And I did. I got in there some way, and at a certain point, I was standing next to these big bay windows with these drapes hanging down. The drapes became animated, wrapped themselves around my lower half, yanked me up into the air. I yelped like a puppy that's been kicked, right? And then, so like I'm inverted. So like my feet and my hindquarters are here, and my head is down here. And then I come to consciousness. I'm in that position above my bed, floating above my bed, and the center of gravity is all off. Okay, I should my hindquarters, butt, and leg shouldn't be here, and my head shouldn't be here, right? So I'm about 3 feet above my bed, 3 or 4 feet above my bed. It's unceremoniously dropped from that. What a bunch of buttheads, you know what I mean? So I was dropped from that position, thudded onto my bed, and I know the feeling because sometimes when I when what you described earlier, some of my experiences, it felt as if I was falling back into my body, and I would like
Correct. The
snap. I
snapback.
would snap back,
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, on this occasion, that didn't happen. I just fell down onto the bed, thump. You know, my shoulders and my back hurt. Thanks a lot, right? And so, you know, the point of relevance was something very real happened to me. I could not make myself levitate like that. And then when you factor in the running through the caverns, being conscious that if I, because I was watching these other, presumably other Mylabs, like jumping and doing other stuff, and I said, well, if I do that, I'm gonna break an ankle, you know what I mean? So I was still in this kind of mentality. And so, and then next thing you know, I'm tasked with breaking into this estate, and everything that I described happened. And then what happened was, after I was dropped into the bed, like you said, the bed became a hostile zone. I got out of my bed and began pacing around in my small studio, and I could feel this icky tingling feeling, from head to toe, because something energetically had been done to me, right? And perish the thought.
You were trying to reestablish yourself in this reality, and it's nobody trained you on how to do that. And it's such an uncomfortable and awkward moment that your body is trying to co-process. A, what happened? And what am I doing back here? Oh, this is my home, but where was I? And all of this is kind of like this madness. Plus, you have a physical effect of the actual training or whatever the op that you went on, and you compress all of that cocktail into one moment, and it's crazy.
Well, yes. I mean, you could imagine the state of mind and being I was in. I was like pacing around the small studio apartment, right? I mean, my bed's there, practically within arm's reach. I can't really go anywhere. And in some, when I was in that studio in San Diego, right, there was a lot of stuff that happened to me. In fact, I had a buddy of mine. His lease expired, where he was living, and so he came to live with me for a little while. We call it the submarine because it was so cramped. One night I'd sleep in the bed, he'd sleep on the floor. Next night he'd sleep in the bed, I'd sleep on the floor, right? And so when he was there, he observed and felt phenomena connected to me, right? Like on one occasion, he said, and I don't even recall this, I got up abruptly from the bed, got down, and I walked down the short corridor to the bathroom. And he said, with every step I took, there was a corresponding step on the flat gravel roof above. So, like, I'm trudging, like in zombie mode to this bathroom, and he can, see, hear, and feel the impression of weight being exerted on the gravel rooftop. And I felt that before on a different occasion when I woke up from another experience. And then it sounded as if I didn't know any better, there was a little gray or something walking around on my roof, because based on the weight that I was registering, that it was exerting on the flats, on the flat ceilings, it had to be the weight of like a little boy, but or a little child. But what are they doing on my roof in the middle of the night? You know what I mean? So like these kinds of things would happen. Nothing super superlative, glamorous Marvel Comics about it. It was full on exploitation, right?
For
So
sure.
it's a breath of fresh air talking to another old cosmic war veteran like yourself, because if I really wanted to split hairs, yes, there was experiences I had which, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear that there were some off-world setting on a big space vessel somewhere. I've
For
had those,
sure.
right?
I've had a couple of those.
I've had those, and I've had other occasions when I'd be, in the midst of military people. It was like a combat type environment. But to me, I zoom out and I look at the experiences in toto. Like I don't focus on just, the super soldier type stuff. I'm trying to figure out, okay, why me? What about me that makes me useful to be exploited for this type of project has to have something to do with aliens. Probably has something
Right.
to do with my bloodline lineage and even a karmic connection. So now, in the time we got left, we didn't even have time to go over your awesome photos, but we'll get into that in the second segment.
Okay.
Any other points you want to make about this whole the
If
MyLab
anybody's
super
out
soldier
there
business?
and they're thinking that we're a couple of whiners, okay, there probably is. There's probably some people out there that are saying like, these two guys have gone through some experiences and they want to paint it or you know a little bit a little like n negative and things like this. I'm only going to be speaking from my perspective and from the truth that I'm saying. If anything, James and I are underplaying
Yes.
this. I'm telling you, because if I went off and I really went off and I started talking about some of the details, you said earlier in the conversation, it is like getting hit by a truck. That's what you said. Those were your very words.
Yes.
And I said, I had a hard time walking. And the only thing I both achieved a black belt in Korean martial art, Hapkido, and I played extensively tackle football. Okay, so come on, man. I mean, this is high impact. Those are about the most two high impact things that you could be due to your body. So I've gone through the apps. I've been knocked out. I was knocked out in class and sparring a couple of times. It's going to happen, even though you're not going full force, you get hit. And bam, your head snaps back and you fall down and you're out. And the instructor, hey, let's get you back up and collect yourself and all that. So I've been knocked out. So I know what it's like to go to bed that night, get up the next morning. Oh, my right side of my neck sore, you know, because the muscle got pulled on that side. This is James was, it's almost like, if I could say this, and I'd like to hear what your opinion is, it's almost like there was a poison in your body, and there it would one of the after effects would be hyper fatigue,
Yes.
okay, and soreness, but it's to a level that really it's very difficult for me to talk about. But and it's going to take some time, 72 hours, okay, before at not every time that I've gone through this, but some of the worst ones that you begin to feel like you're functioning normally, but then you're wondering, when will be the next time that this is going to happen? So, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, yes. What we used to describe is like flu-like symptoms, and not from the
Yes.
standpoint of respiratory, head cold or anything, but just
But
from,
it's like total body, too.
yeah, it's this total body of a total body
Yeah.
ache, right? And it's
Yes.
and a lot of my experiences, and this went on repetitively,
Yes.
redundantly, where,
Yes.
I do my workaday, normie type existence, go to work, come back home, have dinner, settle down, go to sleep, whammo, I'd be in these training scenarios. And when I mean endless amounts of running, far more than I could have done in my normal waking consciousness. Even back then,
Right.
I was a lot more fit then than I am now, right?
Right.
But in these scenarios, and again, the sensation and the perception of linear time passing ever so slowly, wherever the hell this place was. And by all outward appearances, we're outdoors. Sometimes it would be like a coastal kind of beach type environment with woods. And
Right.
I'd be running through there with other people. And sometimes there'd be kids. There'd be like kids going through the training as well. And
Right.
people, instructors, physical education instructors, which I perceived intuitively knew, were like Navy SEAL type guys. They were dressed in the green, green BDUs and the familiar gray sweatshirts, or
Yes.
they look like that. And
Right.
then I would just be made to run and run and run, and just the mental exhaustion, never mind the
Yes.
physical exhaustion, but it's like, when
Yes.
is this going to end? It's just
Yeah.
running and running and running. And then wake up in the morning and it feels like I've run a marathon slash been run over by a truck. It's like my
Absolutely.
thighs, my heels, every part of my body ached, right?
Yes.
And then I'd have to pick myself up. If it was a work day, that didn't matter. I'd just pick myself up, get myself ready, driving over the Coronado Bridge to Naval Air Station, North Island. Here I go again, right? So, I'm getting paid a pittance for my day job working for the Navy. And at night, I'm this indentured kind of press ganged, impressed, my lab. Being put through all these places, no compensation, no
Have you ever
reparations.
thought about it, James, that people looked at you when you got to work and they wondered if something was wrong with you mentally? Because you're not happy.
Well,
You're not
sometimes.
walking around like a normal human being. Because do you have the weight of the world on your shoulder?
Yes.
Yeah, you got the weight of the world on your shoulder. You're wondering what in the hell is going on with
Yes,
this?
like the haunted kind of expression and being in a mental fugue state, like this foggy headed. It's like, what the hell happened last night? You're aching, right? And then you have to go through the mundaneness, the mediocrity of the surface world. And it was compounded by the fact that I lived, that I rather I worked in communications. So I understand that there has to be security, there has to be classification, there has to be need to know. I understand that, right? But it's like I had just come back and been returned from this weird science program, which I knew was going on at the time. I couldn't quantify it. I couldn't really wrap my, we didn't have all the whole mythos, the whole narratives that have emerged today. Back then, we're still trying to figure it out. So here I am back in the mediocrity of the everyday world, right? Shredding old classified documents and checking people's, clearances to make sure they were cleared for certain types of message traffic, et cetera. So I am a secret keeper in my day-to-day job, my mundane existence on Earth. But at night, at times, sometimes quite frequently, I'm this cosmic pawn in this, and why shouldn't I be outraged about that? Why shouldn't I be upset over the fact that, this gross violation of my personal sovereignty is happening sometimes on a nightly basis, right? And so, and also the fact that, me seeing all these kids there, right? And, having had my background where I was taken to all these mine that I later determined were all these mind control places like Oak Knoll Naval Hospital and Balboa Naval Medical Center and the Letterman General Hospital in the Presidio, right? I figured all of that out later. So I'm thinking, well, I'm seeing these kids being put through their paces, training and other things. It's in all likelihood some of them are being subjected to the same crap that I was subjected to as a child, right? So again, that raised my level of pissed offness, if that's proper English, to another level. It's like, leave the kids alone, right? It's bad enough you're taking adults, right?
How many of those children then became maladjusted because they couldn't function properly in school and they had this confused, I'm going to call it kind of wrong schizophrenia, something that would be considered maybe to be schizophrenia, but they're actually telling the truth. And they don't know what the hell's going on. And then how can they watch some little kid play chutes and ladders in front of them?
Well, yes.
How are they supposed to relate to that, James?
Well, what they've done to further muddy the waters and make the surface normal waking consciousness world blend seamlessly or as much as seamless as possible with this nighttime mind control going on. So many of the kids back then, and probably to this day, were all into gaming. They're all into video games,
Yeah, you got it.
Counter-Strike, right? So they're
Yes.
already, and what people don't know, a lot of talk about
But
Fort
still on
Huachuca.
Black Ops, right? They have
That's
Black
right.
Ops 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they play together in one group, right?
Yes, they network online, or and the
My
army would,
friend's kids play that.
well, the army would actually fund and coordinate these Counter-Strike conventions where
I heard that.
these kids would form up in clans, so-called. They go to these Counter-Strike conventions, play all these games, And then based on their scores, then the army would say, well, you know, we really like you kids. You know, we've got some kind of programs in the army which you'd be well suited to, right? And then you know,
Right.
Fort Huachuca has been in the news in the recent past. What people don't realize is not only is it the nerve center of Army intelligence, MI, military intelligence, as you know, but they also have a virtual 3D training environment there, which I
I didn't know that.
in the recent past, because you know Fort Huachuca has been in the news, I did all these searches, no reference to it whatsoever. But I was at these conferences, these big, what was known as AFCEA, Armed Forces Communications and Electronics Association conferences at
Yeah.
San Diego Convention Center. And then I went there as a representative of ComNav AirPAC Communications, right? So, you know,
Right.
all the defense contractors, so-called, had their booths set up, Raytheon, Honeywell, you name it, they were there.
Yeah.
And also, you know, at Fort Huachuca, they had their Army intelligence booth there as well. And I'm thumbing through their glossy brochures, and I should have kept it, right? But there's brochures there about their state-of-the-art 3D virtual reality training center, where they would put, you know, and see, that's again where it's starting to blend in with the nighttime kind of programming that we're
Absolutely.
subjected to, except
Right.
on a
They're
at a
merging. Those realities are merging.
those realities emerging. So they're putting their soldiers, and I guess presumably, I'm guessing a personnel from other branches of service, through this virtual reality training there at Fort Huachuca. And so for some people that have gone through so much of that training, it's and you know, they'll decide, okay, well, this one has certain aptitudes, this one has certain really good reflexes, whatever, then they slot them into another program, right? And so
Right.
that's what we're talking about. We're trying to get our finger on the pulse of what's been going on, how long it's been going on, what we're being used for. And you know, to round out this first segment, you know, what's confounding to me is a lot of these people that claim the super soldier status, it doesn't seem to occur to them when you listen to them that, if taken at face value, keeping in mind, probably because we've all been subjected to screen memories, we've all been subjected to you know, mind control of one sort or another, do these people realize that they are seemingly endorsing all this mind control? Because like I said, in the old days, it was very much an us against them mentality. It's bad enough for getting
Yeah.
abducted by aliens. It's bad enough for being
Right.
ridiculed when some of us speak out about this stuff. And on top of the ridicule, there's the covert harassment, you know, phone calls, you know, being followed by spooks, etc., right? And then, you know, the salt in the wounds by the ridicule. But on top of that, you're getting abducted by the military, injected by the military, abused, tortured by the military. Wait a minute, those guys are supposed to be protecting us. Isn't that what we,
Right.
you know, isn't that what the system is all about? It's like, you know, and I grew up a
Right.
Navy brat. I grew up this kind of,
Right.
I wouldn't say, you know, for a while, I guess you could call me like a conservative flag waver, right? But that was another aspect of it which was deeply upsetting to me, because I had this notion of, you know, right and wrong and all this other stuff. But it was clear to me after a while that these MyLab controllers, they didn't have the same kind of values and morals that I did, right? Because what they're doing is outrageous. We're being abducted by aliens, and we're on top of that, we're being re-abducted by the military. And sometimes the military and the aliens are together when we're being abducted, right? And all the
Right.
while, you know, we're being ridiculed and harassed and all this other stuff. So to us, there was a definite sense of outrage. But when you listen to a lot of these super soldier types, it's like branding. I was with Nakboff and I was with this. It's like, if taken to face value, that they've really had some of the experiences that they're claiming, keeping in mind the screen memories and all that stuff, do
Right.
they realize that they're endorsing and they're promoting mind control, human trafficking, off-world human trafficking?
It almost seems like James, and there would be somebody, and if we were in a conference room and 12 of us were in a circle in an encounter group, and someone was talking about it, and I accused them of saying it seems as though you're still under their mind control
Yes.
program because you seem like you're endorsing it when James and I are calling it a concentration camp. That's not a super soldier thing where they could click some kind of hardware, the wetware inside your brain and have you run 30 miles. I don't think there's any glamorous thing about that.
No, and the, and
Or,
he,
yeah,
he
escape
yeah.
is evasion, resistance, and escape. It's to the point when I get up after one of those, my heart is still racing and
Yes.
paranoia is like at a 10 out of 10.
Oh,
Because
yes.
I was being chased and I don't want to get caught because there's some punishment or the reward is don't get caught as we close in on you. Because that was
Yes.
all we think. So I did, it's like the ultimate game of tag, but there's a little bit more seriousness to it. I didn't come back with anything that I thought was like joyful or rewarding that I'd want to
No,
share with
no.
someone.
And also, you talk about the dread leading up to nightfall. Right, because
Yes.
if you're worn out during the day, half the time you're in a fugue state because of what had gone on the night before, and
Yes.
say if you're in a particular cycle where these nighttime experiences are happening more frequently, right? You get to a point as dusk nears, as nightfall nears, there's a certain amount of dread. Are they going to nab me
100%.
again? Right?
For sure.
Am I going to be put through my paces again tonight?
Yes.
Right? When all
Yeah.
I want, just craving sleep. Just leave me the
What
F
you're
alone.
really saying is peace.
Yes. To the point where they make what's supposed to be your sanctuary, your inner
Yes.
sanctum, the bed, the bedroom,
Yes.
they make it a hostile place. Right?
It's a violation of rape.
It's a radical violation of rape. And
Yes.
when I just think of some of the things that have just been done to me, and what happened to me is probably mild compared to what other people have gone through, but just the electromagnetic beaming, the war scenarios. On one occasion, there was a ridge line. There were vehicles, trucks, military trucks, parked on top of it. Right, there's soldiers there. Shell fire or mortar fire starts coming in. Right, and I hit the dirt. It's like it's not, I'm not thinking I'm a super soldier. I've got my adamantium skeleton, and I'm impervious.
Right.
No, it's like primal
Yeah, you're
fear.
terrified of dying.
Yes, primal fear kicks in. Okay,
Yeah.
I cannot assume this is a dream or some kind of mind
Yeah.
control kind of simulated
Exactly.
environment. That's an assumption, right?
Right.
I could wake up in the morning missing a limb. Okay,
That's correct.
so I'm just crawling along on the ground, rounds coming in, shells coming in, people getting blown apart, right?
Yeah.
And I was terrified. And it was one of those scenarios.
And then you become hyper alert,
Yes.
right? And that is in this adrenaline that's flowing through you, maybe some of that poison that I was talking about earlier that you carry back when you get up at when you return.
Yes. It's like a
Yeah.
cortisol overload, right?
Yes.
Where your body
Yes.
just weighed down because you've just been, your glandular secretions, the
For sure.
adrenals are just, your adrenals are just being like worked to the bone, right?
Absolutely.
And then you wake up and you just got to drag. I got to go to work. I got to, get caught in traffic. And it's your, the mundaneness of the regular, normal consciousness world in comparison to these nighttime mind control excursions, right? It's, at some point I got philosophical about it, right? Okay, look, happening, right? I can't really, haven't quite figured out a way to stop it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But thank God at the time, and I feel bad that you really didn't have anyone to share this with. At least I could pick up a phone or send an email to Evie or some of my other friends, and
Right.
we can talk it over.
And then who was the older lady that kind of mentored you? I forget what was her
Barbara
name?
Bartholuk, yes, Barbara
Barbara
Bartholuk.
Barflick, which I've
Yeah, that.
read her stuff. Yeah, you. I know that you had. I mean, I know that she was like a. How could I say it? If she was in this conversation right now, she'd be talking about this stuff exactly the same as you and I are.
I always likened her to a cosmic combat medic because that was her
You're
role of
correct.
healing all these people that had gone through outrageous
Right.
abuse at the hands of
Right.
the aliens and the military, right? So that was
Right.
her particular bailiwick, was healing and helping people get over the trauma by, recalling certain things and what have you, So anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest, John Franklin. John, if people want to get a hold of you, is it okay if they get a hold of you via me? And
Yes,
okay.
they can. And you know what? I'm going to tell people, if you're not a subscriber to the second half of James's show, I'm going to be showing some photos, and James could be the judge of them as we go through them, because I think this is somebody that's been around the block. You will not see anything as crystal clear and upfront. And I'm going to tell you some stories. So if you're not a subscriber, I really hope you are, to catch the second part of the
Yes.
show, because it's going to be spectacular.
Definitely want to hear about those weird science experiences you've gone through in connection to some of these fantastic photos you've sent. Anyhow, we reached the end
Yeah.
of the first segment of the Cosmic Switchboard Show. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.